to John chapter 8. I've got two passages of Scripture that we're going to read to get started with today. And the second one will be the one that I spend most of my time on. John chapter 8. And please make plans for August the 6th for our Fellowship Missions Conference. And if you want to give a special offering to a missionary, to the missionary that we have yet to determine, the box is right there. And hope that you'll give as the Lord leads you. John chapter 8. And verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to preach this morning, if any man be in Christ. Now, when you look at what Jesus said and what Paul said, these are profound statements. And if you rightly understand the teaching, it'll strip away all false notions of salvation in Christ. Both passages clearly teach. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, then you're going to continue in my word. The truth is going to set you free, and you're going to be free indeed. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you have truly been born again, you're going to be radically changed forever. You're not going to be the same way that you once were. In fact, if you look at the context here in 2 Corinthians 5 and look at verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Listen, if you've been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, and you're a partaker of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your life must be lived for Him. That's the natural result. If any man be in Christ, he will live for the Lord. If you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, it follows that you've not been born of God, and thus never have been changed by divine power. That's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? I can't tell you how many times I've quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17 in my ministry. You know, when I was first saved, probably the two verses I knew were Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You know the next verse I memorized? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know why? I wanted a constant reminder in my mind and heart that I've been born of God. I'm a new creature. The old things, the way that I used to live, what I used to do, how I used to think, and the people that I hung around with that got me in loads of trouble of my own doing, I can't be that way anymore. Because I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to consider, first of all, this phrase, the believer's position. It's in Christ. You'll find that phrase used over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. There are basically three stages of the believer in relationship to Jesus Christ. You see, all of us, as far as we're concerned, we were at one time without Christ prior to salvation. There was a time when we didn't know the Lord, when we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the lust of our flesh and of the mind. We did not know Jesus Christ. We didn't love Him. We didn't want to follow Him. We were outside of Christ as far as we're concerned. In fact, Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I was once in that condition. I was blind spiritually. I was dead. I had no desire for God. I was an alien to God. I had no connection to Him. I was a stranger. I didn't know God at all. That's the way I was. And if you're unsaved here today, that's the condition that you find yourself in. But there was a time when God changed me. And instead of being His enemy, I now became His friend. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ." So there was a time when I was without Christ as far as I was concerned. When we were without Christ, we were lost. We were undone. We were trapped by sin, blinded by Satan. We were miserable. We had no joy. We had no peace. We had no forgiveness. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. That's the condition that most men and women are in today. But those who are in Christ are those who have been made to see their wicked condition by the power of the Holy Spirit and given the ability, the gifts to repent of sin and believe on Christ. I want you to understand that as far as you're concerned, you were not physically born in Christ. You were born of the flesh, dead in trespasses and sins, contrary to God, not seeking after God, lost, undone, polluted, broken, corrupted, without peace. That was your condition before God changed you. What a wonderful phrase to be able to say. If any man be in Christ. Wow. I'll never forget the day that I was saved. Now God, before the world began, He chose me in Christ. When Christ was on the cross, He was literally dying for my sins. My sins were placed upon His body. He was dying the just for the unjust. But I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know God had chosen me. I didn't know that Christ had died for me in particular. And the day that God made me alive spiritually. I was alive physically, but I had no connection to God. When He gave me the new birth, and for the first time, I really saw what I was. I described it as it was like my eyes were open. I saw what a wicked sinner I was. And God gave me the grace to see I needed to turn from my sin, repent of all that wickedness and worldliness, and believe on Christ. My life's never been the same since. You see, to be in Christ means to have a vital union with Him. Meaning that everything that Christ did for you becomes yours. Have you ever thought about that? Now that I'm saved by the grace of God, God looks at me through the righteousness, the obedience, the merits of His only begotten Son. Do you remember what the Father said after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Believe it or not, now that I'm saved, God looks at me through the righteousness of Christ as one of His adopted sons. And now, because of the merits of Christ, His righteousness that's been imputed to me. You know what that means? It means it's been charged to my account. It's like God, Christ made an everlasting deposit that nobody can ever take away into my account. And now God looks at me through the righteousness and the riches of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. To be in Christ. In Christ, we have peace. Something I didn't know anything about before I was saved. I was miserable. I was in a hole that I couldn't get myself out of. I knew I was going to hell. And I knew I deserved to go. And try as I might to quit doing what I was doing, I was never successful. I'd go right back into the filth and the slop. But when He brought me up out of the miry clay and He set my feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ and His finished work, and I'm depending completely on Him for the first time in my life. I had peace with God through faith in Christ, and I had the peace of God that I had never before experienced. You have that in Christ because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, "For He is our peace." I've got peace with God, and now I have the peace of God. When I go to bed tonight, I'm not worrying about dying. I got peace. I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything I've done. Not because I'm a Baptist preacher. Not because I come to church every time the doors are open. Not because I've been baptized. No! I'm in Christ! He's given me a peace that passes all understanding. If I would have been driving home from Forestell, Missouri, and providentially been killed in a car wreck, there's no reason for you to mourn for me. I'm going to be in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have absolute, settled peace and assurance because of what Jesus did for me. I'm resting in Him. Completely. I'll be in heaven. In Christ, we're complete. Think about that phrase. We are complete in Him. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. We are complete. What does it mean to be complete? It means nothing has to be added to it. What did they say about Jesus? The Word was made flesh. We beheld His glory. The Word was made flesh. We beheld His glory. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Christ, my position is such, I am complete in Him. Nothing needs to be added to it. Not my works. Not my religious activity. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am trusting in Christ. I am justified from all things because of this vital, life, spiritual union that I have with my Savior. You see, before I was saved, I was lacking in every respect. I had no righteousness. I had no life. I had no desire. I had no purpose. I had no longing for God. None of that. But when He saved me, it was like Jesus Christ is the horn of plenty. And all of that flowed right to me. So much so that there's nothing that I have to do to add to it. I'm complete in Him. If any man be in Christ, this is what you have. In Christ, we're fruitful. He is the vine, we are the branches. He that abideth in me bringeth forth much fruit. Because of this union with Christ, you will be fruitful. The Spirit will produce fruit in you. In fact, a whole list of characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are found in Galatians 5:22, beginning with love, joy, and peace. If you're in Christ, it means that you've been forgiven. That's something I'll never get over. I have committed so many sins in my life. In Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It's amazing to me that God can forgive somebody like me. That's foul and dirty and filthy and unrighteous and unholy. But in Christ, I have something I do not deserve. Forgiveness. Not for one sin. Not for 10. But for so many sins, I couldn't even list them all for you. They're like a mountain that should have crushed me under their weight for all eternity. Those sins should have plunged me to hell and weighed me down in the lake of fire as the eternal ages rolled on. But Jesus Christ shouted to my mountain of sins, "Grace! Grace be unto it!" And He put them all away. And because I'm in Him, I'm forgiven. How are we brought into that state of being in Christ? The Spirit of God gives you life. Gives you the gift of repentance, turning from sin, and real faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. One of the best illustrations of it is Noah's Ark. By the way, Ken Ham, his team has built a replica of Noah's Ark. It's in northern Kentucky. You know when the world gets all upset about this Ark? He's doing something right. But think about how Noah and his family entered that ark. Think about how they built the ark. This is a massive boat, man. Everybody else at that time, they were doing what they wanted to do, whatever pleased them. They didn't care about the judgment to come. And Noah and his sons, man, they're sweating. They're building this ark and they're telling people, judgment's coming. You better get in this ark. Only 8 souls were saved. You know how Noah and his sons entered the ark? By faith. That's it. There was only one door. They entered it. God shut the door. And then the floods came. The floods, the waters above, that water vapor canopy was opened up. And it came down from above. The waters of the deep came up. And you have a worldwide flood. 8 people are saved. They're safe in the ark. The only people that were saved were those that were in the ark. That was the only way that they could be saved from the wrath to come. And I'm telling you today, the only way you can be saved is in Christ. There's no other way. Those in Christ will one day be with Christ in heaven because of this love and faith union we have with Him. To be in Christ is to be eternally united to Him. Jesus never divorces His people. He never abolishes their salvation. When He gives you His righteousness, that and salvation, it shall be forever. It'll never be abolished. This is the most important thing you will ever consider and examine. As to whether you're in Christ or outside of Christ. Now, The second thing I want to consider is the believer's character. What happens when you are brought out of this state of deadness and darkness into life and light? What happens? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new creature, a new nature, is formed by the divine power and the working of God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The Bible talks about the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you are born again, when God gives you spiritual life, and you, for the first time in your life, acknowledge and recognize the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, you now know that you're in Christ. And you got a new part of you that wasn't there before. It's called the new man. That new creation. And I got to thinking about that. That new part of me, that new nature, that something wasn't there before. When I was born and when I lived before I was saved, I only had one nature. It was the flesh. That carnal, wicked, sinful nature that opposed God. That's all I had. When He made Christ known to me, I got a new man. And hence I became a new man. A new creature. It's kind of like in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about how that the original creation was there was darkness, there was chaos, we were dead, until God said, "Let there be light." And light was. Only God can do that. Only God can create a new nature in you that wants to live for Christ. This really separates religious people who are... they're sitting in churches all over the United States today. They've never been born again. They've never really trusted Christ. They're dependent on something else. And they come to church as a social obligation. Check that off my list. And then they live like the devil the rest of the week. I can remember the day, I've told you this story, the day that I was saved and I witnessed to Kevin Hamilton. And I can remember him saying, "You're going to be back right with us in six..." "Well, I'll give you 6 months." Oh, man. That just burned in me. That made me so mad. I had never prayed yet up to that point. And I can remember going home and getting on my knees and saying, "Oh, God, don't ever... please, kill me now. Take me on to heaven right now if I go back to the way I was. Because I don't want to be that way." I was a new creature in Christ. I have received new life. God gives us a new heart, a new spirit, a new attitude. He creates in us a new man, a new nature that enables us to live for Him. He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1. And what do we profess when we're baptized? We're symbolically declaring, we're telling everybody, "I'm dead to my old way of life. I'm buried with Christ, and I'm raised in Him to walk in newness of life. I'm a new creature. We are vowing before God, I'm not going back. By the grace of God, I am pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature. I can't live the way that I used to. And it implies... And how do you know this has happened? The Bible says, as newborn babes, desiring the milk of the Word, that we should grow thereby. This is one of the ways I knew I was saved. I had no thirst for God, no desire for His Word. I didn't care about His law or His promises or anything before I was saved. And after He saved me, as a newborn babe, when the preacher said, you ought to read 10 pages of your Bible, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I started reading my Bible. And it became part of my life. And then I found myself starting to obey what the Bible was teaching. Everything changed. I remember. And that's my next point. Man, if you're a new creature in Christ, if you're a newborn babe, you're going to desire the milk of the Word. I hardly ever went to church before I was saved. And then after He gave me that new nature, those new desires, now I wanted to go to church. Before I couldn't stand Christian people. Now I wanted to be around them. Before I never sang a hymn. Now, I want to sing. How does that happen? I told you what my gramps said. After I was saved, I'd go up there, I'd pull up a chair, and I'd put my Bible down on that chair and act like it was my pulpit, and I'd preach to them. My gramps and grandma. And he said, Tommy, what has happened to you? I mean, you used to be a drunk. You were wicked. What? Did you just turn over a new leaf? Well, how'd this thing happen? I said, no. God saved me. He changed me. I can't live like that anymore. You see, this text, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is a radical change as a result of this new birth and salvation. Old things are passed away. This change is so powerful and deep, it has an effect upon every aspect of our lives. Suddenly, our old sins and lusts become repulsive and wicked to us. We become convicted of our old sins. We see that they are rebellion against God. When the Lord saved me, it changed me. I didn't want to go on in my sinful lifestyle. I can remember worrying about how I was going to get out. I was supposed to move in with one of my friends. I can remember after I was saved, it really bothered me. How am I going to tell him I can't do it? It didn't happen. It didn't. Because he told me, there ain't no way you're moving in with me. I started witnessing to people. I started telling them how God had saved my soul. How He had changed me. When the Lord saved me and changed me, old things began to pass away. The friends that I drank with, used drugs with, they didn't want me around. And I didn't want to be around them. In fact, the only time I was around them was when I was witnessing to them. Because I knew this. I knew I couldn't go back into that environment. I was saved. I'm going to tell you something. Sin has a powerful draw. My taste changed. I couldn't listen to the same music I used to listen to. Suddenly I knew what I used to do was wrong. Suddenly I knew that drinking alcohol was evil. I mean, that it really messed me up, messed my life up. Drugs messed my life up. I knew I couldn't do that anymore. And I'm going to tell you, everything changed. And I was seeking the Lord every day. God, give me strength. Because I don't want to go back to the way I was. My mouth, before I was saved, was full of cursing. After I was saved, it changed. I told you the story. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks after I was saved. I couldn't believe it. I hadn't said a cuss word in 3 weeks. My friends were... The people that I worked with, they couldn't believe it. I can remember, I used to have to carry these 100-pound boxes of ground beef into Taco Casa, downtown Cincinnati. And I'd have to open a door while I had this thing on my... resting like this, and I'd open that door, and then I'd grab it and I'd slide in, take it right into their cooler. Well, this day, I opened it up, and it swung real hard. That door swung right back, hit my hand, and I dropped that ground beef right on the floor. I cussed. And all of a sudden, conviction came all over me. Man. Everybody, all the workers that were in the kitchen, they saw what had happened and they were getting ready to go back to work because, you know, yeah, the guy messed up and he cussed. Big deal. I said, "Hey, I'm sorry. Please, forgive me for cursing." And they looked at me like, "What do you mean?" I remember getting in that. I had a huge car. It was a 71 Chevy Impala. I got in that car, got on my knees, and I said, "Oh God, forgive me." See, I never had that before. I was never convicted like that before. All things became new. Now I wanted to go to church. Now I wanted to grow. I wanted to sing praises. I wanted to do what's right. And I wanted to be a witness. Because I was a new creature. Are you a new creature in Christ? If so, you've been changed. If you've never been changed, you've never been saved. Now, I've been saved for 36 years. I'm not perfect. But I tell you what I don't do. I don't justify my sin anymore. I go to God with it. And ask Him to forgive me. I take personal responsibility, which I didn't do before. Now, you may not be near as bad as I was. But if you're lost, you're still a sinner. And you need to trust Christ. And I urge you to do so. because it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Let's all stand.